Prater is our Browns beat reporter, and he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Browns getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers tomorrow night, right there in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, D. How are you, buddy?
Daryl.
Hello, boys.
So, riddle me this one. We have a guy at Bleacher Report predicting 2-15 for the Browns. We have Eric Edholm of NFL.com with the Browns at number 32 in his current preseason power rankings. It's not going to be that bad, is it?
It depends what they get from the quarterbacks, Jeff.
Okay.
I mean, that's what this all comes down to. What can they get out of that quarterback room over 17 games? I'm not going to sit here and predict doom and gloom, but it's possible. It's also possible they could be close to a 500 team as well. I don't go into the season believing that they're a legitimate playoff contender, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe that the defense will be good enough to keep them in games, and you know, can the quarterbacks do enough not only to keep them in those games, but maybe steal a game or two or three in the fourth quarter?
That's interesting. I've got a defensive question I'll ask you in a second. But when you look at the quarterback situation right now, and I heard what you were saying about the quarterbacks before, I'll give you the opportunity to say it again, that where are we with this thing? Where are we? If tomorrow wasn't Carolina and tomorrow was Cincinnati, where would we be?
Joe Flacco would be starting.
With confidence? Do we have confidence that he can help them stay, help the offense stay in the game enough to win?
Well, I have confidence that he would be starting. I can't really speak for the rest of it at this point. But I do think that based on the current condition of that quarterback room, you know, Flacco's the obvious choice right now.
I would agree with that. Can that change next week if Kenny Pickett is able to practice against Philadelphia? I would assume if Gabriel's able to go as well, we would see both Pickett and Gabriel against the Eagles in the game. Can it change next week? And if it doesn't change next week, Darrell, I agree. I don't think there's any question that it'll be Joe in week one.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like that Joe has been out in front from the moment he was signed. You know, this has been about seeing if there's something there with Kenny. Look, let's be honest about it. Outside of Joe Flacco, this entire quarterback room is a great experiment, right? Shedeur Sanders was drafted in the fifth round just for the heck of it. I don't know why they drafted Dillon Gabriel in the third round, other than I guess he can memorize and draw the playbook almost instantaneously.
Got that going for you.
Yeah. It doesn't help you actually read a defense and make throws when you're on the field, but whatever. That's what they like. So, and, you know, Joe Flacco is the guy that they know what's there. And I think that it kind of explains when you look at the reps and how they've been distributed here, not just in training camp, but even before training camp, mini camp and whatever. Like, it's all about looking at everyone else but Joe. They know what Joe is. They know what he brings to the table, what he has. So I honestly don't even feel like he's auditioning for the job. It's Kenny Pickett who's auditioning for the job. It's Dillon Gabriel who's auditioning. Same thing in some respects to Shedeur, even though I don't think that there's a snowball chance and you know what, that he'll win the starting job because he's not been put in a position to do so. And part of the reason he hasn't been put in position to do so is the organization just doesn't feel he's ready for that just yet. So, and the only reason he's starting tomorrow night in the preseason opener is, well, he's last man standing. It's either him or Tyler Huntley. And this gives you an opportunity to get a legitimate evaluation of him going against Carolina starters, right? He's going to be with the 2-3 Browns offense, but you're going to be able to get a much more honest evaluation of just where he is. If he plays well, then you say, okay, he's a little better down the line here than we thought he was. Great. If he doesn't play well, you say, well, that's kind of what we expected. You know, this is a developmental thing for him, and he's got a little ways to go, and so we just, you know, stick with our current plan. There is no need to accelerate. But I do think that if Shedeur plays well tomorrow night, he might force the Browns' hands to try and challenge him in a similar fashion in which they've been challenging Dillon Gabriel all offseason.
Daryl, in yesterday's press conference, because Jeff and I were a little dazed and confused off the front because, you know, Kevin didn't really...
Well, no, we were not dazed and confused. We listened and heard what he said.
Yeah, Kevin didn't actually say that Shedeur was starting. everyone reported that, and it almost said, like, it almost made me think, I don't, Jeff, you can agree or disagree, that if Tyler Huntley had another week under his belt, he'd probably be starting tomorrow night.
100%.
Okay, so that was my question for you.
Still could be, yeah. Daryl?
No, I don't think he's starting tomorrow night, but I'm just saying, like, to bet, I'm just agreeing with Baskin that if, you know, if Huntley was here a week ago, it would be Tyler Huntley and not Shedeur Sanders. Look, okay.
Yeah, that was, my question was,
can we have an honest conversation here real quick about the whole Shedeur thing?
Because
I know it's a lightning ride.
Yeah.
Okay, look, first of all, the Browns had no intention of drafting the kid, okay? That's number one. Number two, they had no intention of starting him in the preseason opener either. And yet here we are. So,
and yet here we are.
Okay,
Daryl, that was well said.
So, Daryl, I mean, you're saying that they had zero intention of drafting him, but he was the best value pick in the fifth round.
He's sitting there in the fifth round.
Jimmy Haslam told us that a week ago. he's like, hey, you know, we go home Friday night. You told me we were going to draft Shedeur Sanders. I would have said you're out of your mind. Then we woke up Saturday morning. He's still there. We had a conversation. We're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Well.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, what's the latest on Quinshon Judkins? You got anything?
There's a filing made yesterday in Broward County Court late in the afternoon. His attorney filed a motion waiving his right to a speedy trial, which that basically means that the case could potentially get pushed into early 2026. I believe Florida law is that you have a right to a trial within 60 days of being charged or arraigned. So that means that potentially the legal process associated with this thing is not going to get resolved anytime soon. And, you know, then I think that kind of puts the ball in Andrew Berry's court. Does he want to sign him? It also puts the ball in the NFL's court, which would be a very uncomfortable situation for them. Because if they suspend him before this case is resolved, that could get used against Quinshon in a court of law, because then the prosecution say, see, even the NFL said he did something wrong here. So I don't think it provides any clarity whatsoever, and I'm not a lawyer by any stretch of the imagination here. But this, I think, at least from my standpoint, I kind of feel like this complicates things a little bit. The reason, now I know some folks will go back to the Mike Hall thing. Remember, the Mike Hall situation last year, he was arrested and charged in mid-August, early September. That got pled out to a lesser charge or whatever. And got resolved, and then the NFL came in and said, okay, we're suspending you for, I think he sat out the first week. The Browns actually played a game or two before the NFL came out with the suspension. They said, you're suspended the first five games of the season. You get credit for time already served, so you're eligible to come back week six. So I don't know specifically how this impacts the league's processes here, but I just, common sense tells me, it stands to reason that it could or would, because, again, obviously the NFL does not want to do anything that could potentially jeopardize a legal process.
Daryl Ryder joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. With all that in mind, tell me what you've thought so far of Dylan Sampson, and tell me what Pierre Strong has looked like, and does Pierre have a chance here? Or is Sampson going to pick up all of those carries that might have gone to Judkins while Jerome Ford is the starter?
I think it's Ford, Sampson. Strong, we've seen him getting some special teams work, so I think that there could be some opportunity there for him. Right now, as we talk, Jeff, that's my three-man running back room.
Okay.
Take that for what it's worth, subject to change based on circumstances, whatever, as we go through the rest of this thing here this month. But right now, that's my three-man running back room.
What's Dylan Sampson look like to you?
I mean, he doesn't flash to me, but nobody has flashed to me in this camp, really, outside of Jerry Jeudy. And a couple of the rookies. He looks okay. You know, again, it's really tough evaluating these guys in, controlled practice settings, because they're honestly not running free or trying to run free. Well, they are trying. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's not the same as seeing these guys in game situations.
Exactly.
So going to get a better idea tomorrow night what Sampson's going to be able to bring to the table, I think, when he goes up against that Panther defense.
Daryl, has Carson Schlesinger knocked your socks off? I know you were talking about the defense before. That's why I want to bring that off, bring that up. Because I'm looking at this whole thing. I'm like, man, they're giving the rookie the green dot. And,
well, I don't know who they're higher on more as an organization, Carson Schlesinger or Dylan Gabriel. And I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm being sincere when I say that. I honestly don't know who they feel better about because they love both guys. But here's the difference, though. Carson Schlesinger, to me, actually looks the part.
That was
Dylan Gabriel. There's a lot of times where Dylan Gabriel doesn't look like he belongs on an NFL field. So that's the difference. Carson does look fantastic. You know, and for me, and this is unfair to do to him, but for me, I kind of feel like he's the JOK replacement. Like he's the kid that's going to be asked to step in and fill that role. Now, I don't know he's going to fill it as well as JOK, but they love his work behind the scenes, his football acumen. That's why they're giving him the green dot and giving him those opportunities and challenging him. Look, it's very rare for a rookie to step in and to be able to do that, yet here we are with Carson, and he's doing it. And it's not just that he's doing it, guys. He's doing it at a pretty high level. Teammates, coaches, the front office, everybody is just thrilled with what they're seeing and observing from Carson Schlesinger throughout this camp. So you're going to see a lot of him as this season goes along.
Daryl, let me go back to your thoughts on Dylan Gabriel. Obviously, you've not been a fan. You've been vocal about that.
Great kid, not an NFL quarterback in my view.
He has to get on the field next week, does he not, to have a chance to avoid the practice squad?
They're keeping four quarterbacks, Jeff.
Okay.
I'm convinced of it. I think that the position that gets sacrificed is the sixth wide receiver. Because this wide receiver room stinks outside of Jerry Jeudy. And Cedric Tillman is a question mark, right? So why keep a sixth wide receiver? Especially if you're going to do a lot of 12 personnel. You're going to keep three running backs. I don't know. Maybe they keep a fourth running back. We'll see. But like, you're going to be, you know, you're going to treat your running backs and your tight ends, both your tight ends, Njoku and Fannin. You're going to be treating both those guys like receivers, right? So for me, those are your number. You know, it goes Jerry Jeudy's your one receiver, Cedric Tillman's your two receiver, David Njoku's your three receiver, Fannin's your four receiver, your running backs your five and six receivers, right? And then, oh, let's go back into the wide receiver room, and there's receiver number 7, 8, 9, and 10, right?
Yeah.
That's the lens with which I'm looking at this product right now in this roster. I do believe that they're going to keep all four quarterbacks. I don't feel like that Andrew Berry's bluffing. I don't think that there's anything, you know, they're trying to, you know, trick a team into trading for one of these guys. Because I hate to say it, but they're going to need three or four guys to get through this season. So, because I love Joe Flacco, I'm not convinced that he's going to last 17 games or the organization is going to stick with him for all 17 games. Remember, Baker Mayfield, Tim Couch, only two dudes since 1999 to play a full regular season schedule. They got through 16 games, okay? So keep that part of it in mind as well. So I do believe, based on like what Jimmy Haslam has said publicly, right? Last week he said, hey, Kevin knows that we got to see the rookie quarterbacks this year. So that tells me they're starting with Joe Flacco. Maybe they go to Kenny Pickett. Then they're going to Dylan Gabriel. And I don't know, maybe they, by the end of December, Shedeur Sanders is ready, or they feel like he's ready to kind of throw him out there and take a peek at him too. But I do believe right now, again, circumstances could change, but right now I do think they keep four quarterbacks to start the season.
Based on the fact that they went in the third and fifth round, do you think they could sneak Gabriel or Sanders onto the practice squad?
No. I especially with the report that Mike Silver had earlier this week, the teams were calling the Browns on Dylan, you know, after they drafted Sanders. And look, you put Sanders on the waiver wire, he's not going to last. Somebody's going to claim him.
Same with Gabriel?
Yeah, I think so. I think Gabriel might last a little longer than Sanders would, but like I do think somebody would claim him. Yeah, so I do not believe that they will try the waiver wire to the practice squad path to keep all four quarterbacks. I think they just keep them all on the 53. And also keep in mind too, guys, Andrew Berry views this as a 69-man roster, not a 53-man roster. Keep, you know, you got your 48, right? Your game day 48. Then you get your 53, add on your practice squad, you got 69 guys. So that's how Barry looks at this thing. So let's say that's sixth receiver, right? Who, by the way, they probably will be able to cut, get through the waiver wire and onto the practice squad. That's the guy that they'll, you know, they'll still keep the guy that they wanted to keep on the 53. It's just he'll be on the practice squad and then they can elevate him if they need him. See what I'm saying? So
yeah.
that's why I believe that, you know, because the practice squad rules have changed so much in recent years and it's been expanded, it's easier now for the Browns to keep the four quarterbacks than if we were at a true 53-man roster and only a 10-man practice squad.
Daryl, I think their lack of movement in the wide receiver position backs up exactly what you said about keeping five wide receivers. I mean, if they thought it was a six-man position, I think they would have brought somebody else in, don't you?
Well, they also want to take a look at the kids they have, right? You got right now in that room, again, your depth chart is Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson. Those are your top three guys. And then you got Jamari Thrash. You've got Caden Davis. Bell is on IR. He's Gage LeVarden has had a great camp, uphill climb to make the team. Luke Floria, who everyone loves because he's a local kid, uphill climb to make the team. And then there's like Coda, and there's like two other guys, McDonald and someone else. I'm drawing a blank, but like none of those guys jump off the page at you, right? And I don't think if you put any of those names on the waiver wire, that you're going to be sweating whether or not they get claimed. So they want to look at what they have and see if they have something there. It wouldn't shock me, Jeff, if they start with five. Then look at the waiver wire, cut another guy to put him on the practice squad to bring in another body externally that got waived from another team. I think that is a very distinct possibility and would be a way to satisfy what you clearly are craving, and that is some outside help at the receiver position. But I do have to warn you, said receiver will not be helping the Browns win the Super Bowl this year.
All right, Darryl, we got about a minute. I just want to make sure I've got it right, because you can protect four guys on your practice squad, but you must put them through waivers first. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Just looking at that rule, because otherwise they've got to take a guy. If they take someone off the practice squad, they have to be on the active roster for the next 3 weeks.
Well, and you only get so many elevations. Like the rules have changed quite a bit when it comes to the practice squad guys and being able to store guys in that. They've expanded it to allow veteran players to be on the practice squad now. Like it used to be reserved for, you know, rookies and guys that were redshirted and have minimal experience and things like that. They've made a lot of tweaks in recent years. So Andrew Berry has become a master of roster manipulation, and I have no doubts that he's going to be doing that come that final Tuesday in August.
Daryl, thank you, buddy.
You bet, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy
Thanks,
the preseason opener.
Yes, sir. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter.